Tempesta is Deirdre Kinahan's play with a score composed and performed live by Steve Wickham of the Waterboys. It's all part of Cork Midsummer, which starts next week. And Tempesta, the play, tells the tale of two Dubliners caught up in the onslaught of war in 1930s Europe and wondering if their love can survive it all. Delighted to be joined in studio this evening by Deirdre Kinahan and indeed Steve Wickham, who has brought his guitar in with him and will be proof of that what I tell you is ne'er a lie. And he will be performing more for us a little bit later on. This is, Deirdre, these are fictional characters, Ellie Rosen and Louis Doyle, but there is a basis in reality, or certainly an inspiration in reality for the two characters.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, these two characters are inspired by two real people, Ettie Steinberg and Charlie Donnelly. So I've always been really interested in that period in Irish history and the Spanish Civil War and the fact that young Irish men and women went over and fought in that war for an ideal. And that's what Charlie Donnelly did. And very famously, he coined that phrase, "Even the olives are bleeding," which apparently is something he said just before he was shot in the Battle of Jarama. So I always wanted to write a play about the Jewish community in Dublin. And I came across the story of Ettie Steinberg, who was a young girl from the South Circular Road who was murdered in Auschwitz in 1942. And when I came across that story, I was kind of paralysed for a moment by it, because it's not something that any of us really know or talk about. So I created this kind of passionate love story between these two characters, Ellie Rosen and Louis Doyle.
So the fictional part of this is that Ellie and Louis know each other, whereas the real life characters of Ettie and Charlie never knew each other well. We don't know if they did at any rate.
Exactly. I mean, they would have walked the same streets and certainly inhabited the same city. But no, my characters, I went into their stories as much as I could find out about them. And then with all research, you know, as a playwright, you kind of leave it all behind and you go fly into a more mythical and dreamlike landscape to kind of explore the period and explore the chaos and the joy and the hardship of that time. And
you have them knowing each other, which is absolutely gorgeous, from school and knowing each other from, you know, very early days at school. And while there was hardly passionate love between 2 4-year-olds, but there was something from the minute they met each other right through school and up into their teenage years, that did grow, that immediate connection grew into a very strong love.
Absolutely. I mean, I think they were real soulmates, and they were two outsiders, because young Ellie is a Jewish girl in
Dublin.
And we should
stress, these are the fictional characters
as well. But I did put them in the school that Ettie Steinberg went to down on Dunore Road, and the whole geography of it, the geography of Little Jerusalem and Harold's Cross and all of that. And obviously I've written a lot out of history in that period. Yeah. I've written out of 1916, War of Independence, Civil War. So my notion was that Louis's mother was involved in the movement. So he's a bit of an outsider in his Dublin of the 1930s, because he's still very kind of progressive and leftish at a time when Ireland was becoming deeply conservative. So he's an ardent communist. And Ellie is a young Jewish girl who wants to be Irish and wants to be a part of his world, but keeps getting kind of pulled back into that Jewishness and that little Jerusalem. So all the time, the two of them are kind of fighting a battle with society and expectation in order to be together.
And of course, part of the challenge for Ellie in this situation is the fact that she has fallen for a young Christian boy, a young Dubliner.
Absolutely.
And the expectation would be that she would marry and stay within her own community.
Absolutely. So in so once they get found out in the play...
Beautifully, I have to say. I don't want to spoil how, but it does involve a bundle of carrots in somebody's garden shed.
Exactly, it does.
And they're well into their, you know...
Into their romance and their ardour at that stage.
Their physical relationship is very strong.
Exactly, exactly. But once they get found out... Her family, in order to save her, marry her off to a cousin in Hamburg, not realizing that they actually are sending her into the epicenter of the coming war.
Yeah.
And then Louis, in his devastation at the end of their relationship, goes off to fight in the Spanish Civil War. And so the play is also about war, and it's a cry from the heart against war, because it doesn't matter what side you're on or who you are, in the end of the day, we're all just hope and hurt and heart in the end. And I think it really goes into the complexity and the confusion of all of that.
Yeah,
but through a very joyous and beautiful and passionate relationship.
Because the phrase, why in the world is there always war, Ellie, comes up, and or why in the world is there always war, Charlie, even, you know, they are not Charlie, I beg your pardon, Louis.
Louis.
That phrase comes back time and time again in the script, that, you know, it's a question that's constantly asked. However, sitting behind us is one Mr. Steve Wickham, and the Spanish side of, I suppose we have those three locations, Steve. We have Spain, we have the German aspect of, and certainly the Jewish aspect of the music in here. So you have quite a broad spectrum of music to choose from and musical colours to choose from to create these locations and situations for us. How did the collaboration with Deirdre come up in the first place?
That's a very good question. Now, we've been talking about it for a while. Etty existed as a character in another piece of work that we had done a couple of years ago with Jerry Leonard, a great guitar player. And we worked on that. So she was very much alive as a character. And I think Deirdre's been talking about it for a good few years, maybe
10 or 12 years. Yeah.
And so that's how the collaboration took place. I kind of went in and did some research on the music of the Spanish Civil War. And I had a very interesting journey. I went up to Cavan in Anna McCarrick up there, and I met a beautiful Spanish poet called Javier Chiepo, who's a Galician poet from Vigo, one of Spain's great poets. And he was translating some poems. Among them was this poem. I told him I was working on this music for the Spanish Civil War. And he said, oh, I have a poem. And we worked on it together and turned it into a song, which is in the play.
And that's what you're going to
perform. And I would like to play it for you now.
And I would love to listen to it now. So off you go.
On a night of ancient terror, on a night that swells cold fists, six young men raise rifles to their shoulders, and they execute my order like this. You will kill your own dear brother. You will kill your gentle neighbor. You will kill your trusted friend. You will kill who I order. Ah, brother, you will kill. Take careful aim for the center. Pull your trigger and be damned. Let this mess already, let our gun smoke fill the land. Trusted friend, you will kill who I order. Ah, brother, you will.
Steve Wickham there with one of the songs from the play Tempesta, Deirdre Kinahan's play, which has been performed as part of the Cork Midsummer Festival. Extraordinary power in those lyrics, Steve. And in fact, they could speak very much to our own civil war, very much to any war happening in the world right now.
Mm, for sure. Well, Tempest is a play about the war. Why? It was such a, why are we in the 21st century? 21st century, we've done so much, we're still...
Still at it. And I guess it does speak to events in Ukraine, events in Gaza today. And in fact, this play had been done, Deirdre, just around, was it just after the events of October 7th?
Yes, I wrote it last year after a visit to Spain, and we did it in Glassmass Theatre on Dawson Street, lovely little new writing house there, and with a view to expanding it and doing it again this year. But when we were all full of Ukraine and stories about Ukraine, and it felt, even though it's set in the 30s, it felt so relevant now. But of course, we opened early October. And the central character, Ellie, is a young Jewish girl played by Stephanie Dufresne, who's a member of the Jewish community here in Ireland. And then you have the dreadful incursion on October 7 when Hamas go in. And then you have the Israeli response, which just ballooned and ballooned as we played for 4 weeks in Dublin. And it just, it kind of made the hairs go up on the back of your neck, because it just feels like this constant storm raging around the world, where we kind of push ourselves and push people from one end of it to another. And you think, like, with all the lessons we have, like the Spanish Civil War was the precursor to the Second World War. We know what happened. We know our history. We know where fascism and hate leads to. And yet we seem to be marching that march all over again. Mm. So I think that really plays with the audience, and it certainly plays with all the artists and creatives involved. It just feels very alive.
Did you adjust? Were there any adjustments? Did you relook at any of the script, given, you know, how things have developed since that first run in October? The word Awalia, home comes up again and again in the
again
script
and
as well,
again.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, I just think, Sean, I can write about nothing else at the moment except kind of refugees, exile, you know, that movement of peoples and our response to it. It's just in just about everything I write. And certainly Awalia and home was a big part of it last year. But when we were going at it again, we felt that this play feels almost like a warning, you know, and a cry from the heart to say that if we don't all kind of just walk in love and compassion and empathy, we're going to walk into this carnage all over again. So phrases like, why in the world is there always war? I did write them in and just turn the volume up slightly, but in a way that kind of floats in with the poetry of the story that was there. Mm. So that for an audience, because I think an important part about this production is it's very immersive. We're playing in the PAV, which is an old cinema in Cork, which is Art Deco. And the audience will be sitting around the action. Steve and the two actors are on stage, and the notion is that they're ghosts who are conjured up by the music, and they come back to tell their story. So the audience are kind of sitting in the middle of this storm of love and war and history and truth, and it reverberates in the present as well. So I think that's kind of a powerful, unexpected aspect of
it. I noticed that today when I was reading through the script and looking through the script. There are, most of the type is in black, and then every so often there are these phrases in red, not least of which is, why in the world is there war?
Yeah,
and Awalia, and other phrases and words like that. So they are the slight adjustments that
they've
made.
They are the slight adjustments. Yeah, yeah. And it's just, sometimes you can do that with a script. You can just turn up the volume. I mean, if you ever get to go back to a play, there's always things that you miss that are maybe just a little, they're there through your subconscious, you know, but you get a chance to kind of really amplify them.
And that experience for you, Steve, of being in on stage with the two actors, that immersive experience, it's a very different one, I would guess, the liveness and the live nature of that from a gig with the Waterboys, or a straightforward, if there is such a thing, music gig.
I love the magic of that theatre, because you've got an hour, it's the same length of time as a gig a lot of the time, 70 minutes. So we're inhabiting a silent space. And I was just talking to somebody earlier about the difference was like when you're in a band and you're playing, it's great. People are moving their bodies and they're shaking along. They're getting into the music and the music goes into the combined experience. I mean, we're just bringing people together. You don't know whether Johnny and Mary in the front row are meeting each other for the first time and fall in love and go off. And many people say that to me. Oh, we met at that gig and we met at that gig. But with theatre, there's a kind of a silence in the space. And I'm looking out at the audience and I see their bodies are there, but they're gone.
Explain now what you mean by they're gone.
Their head is in
spinning. They're inhabiting our. They're living through the actors on the stage. They're with us in a way.
Physically present, but emotionally they're on stage. With
you. The bodies are there. But whereas with music, they're moved. We're all. Yeah. It's just a different experience, and I love the magic of that, or the, whatever the word. I'm sure people have written papers about what that is, but I don't know. But I love being in there.
Yeah, I will.
Well, the audience are such a huge part of the telling of the story because every, you know, the actors respond to the energy of the audience as they respond to what's in front of them.
All within the framework and the text and the setup of the production.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's magic.
Don't have to convince me of the magic of theatre, that's for sure. Might have given into it once or twice myself. Thanks so much to both of you for coming into us this evening, Steve Wickham and Deirdre Kinahan. Tempesta, the name of the play we've been speaking about. It opens at the Pav in Cork on June the 14th and runs then through until the 22nd, all part of the Cork Midsummer Festival. For further details and information on Tempesta and indeed everything happening at the festival, go to the website, which is corkmidsummer.com.